Good morning. So I'll tell you what I'm trying to do today, and then we can talk later, hopefully offline, about whether I succeeded in that or not. I want to talk about our text, about the baptism of Jesus, and the Isaiah 42 text that we heard talks about that too, at least in retrospect it does, when people are looking back on it. And I want to share what I've learned in teaching primary Sunday school. So we'll see how well those two things mesh. And above all, the message that I want to share with you today is that God loves tired people. And sometimes there's sort of a meme or a way of saying things that says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but I know who needs to hear that. That is me. God loves tired people. I suspect I might not be the only person for whom that applies. And tired people can love God. So if there's nothing else that resonates, just remember that God loves tired people. I did my Doctor of Ministry, which is, I finished that about 5 years ago now, and one of the books I had to read was something that I immediately passed the book along, and I didn't keep because it still makes me clench, and it was from an American megachurch pastor, and he was talking about how to tell if you were growing in your ministry and in your career as a Christian leader is by whether your audience got bigger and bigger and more important and more powerful people. So if you started out as a youth pastor, then you'd want to be senior pastor, and you'd want to be senior pastor of a big church that had multiple churches. And, you know, obviously, I guess the goal is a private jet and being on TV. I'm not 100% sure on that. But the goal was for your sphere of influence always to be larger. And your sphere of influence in this context was men, because the teaching Sunday school wouldn't have counted, and teaching Sunday school to little kids I don't think would have counted. And I clenched at that recollection, because I thought, so teaching three-year-olds about Jesus, say you faithfully did that for decades, and I can think of people here who probably would be embarrassed to be named who have done precisely that. And God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm convinced of that. So I say all that to say that here I am, the person. I'm looped fullback, and God's given me the opportunity to put that into practice. And Kayla is the primary teacher, by me the main, and I am doing my best to keep up. So I've got some pictures of that to share with you at the end, but I want to give you that background as I talk about what I've learned and what I'm learning and how that all might fit together with the Isaiah text. And if it doesn't, then we'll just go with God loves tired people and we'll be fine. The memory verse that we first did, you might have seen at the Christmas pageant, love is patient, love is kind, love never ends. Now, I think that primary Sunday school doesn't deal with the deep theological stuff, and we don't get into substitutionary atonement and all kinds of things like that or argue about it. But if there's something more difficult and important and foundational to wrestle with than love is patient, love is kind, love never ends, I don't know. So I want to bring you that, and I want to remind us that we see that maybe as a, like, oh my goodness, I was not patient, kind, or any of those things today. Eek. But it's also talking about God's love for us. God's love for us is patient. God is patient with us. God is kind. God's love for us never ends, even if we are in complete denial about that God exists or that God loves us or any such thing. God's love for us is completely independent of where we are at, which I think is a good thing. So that was our first memory verse. We've done some other ones, and I think that one remains my favorite and foundational. Foundational. We do some really important stuff. The other kinds of things we talk about in primary Sunday school is that God made the world and everything in it. And so if God made everybody, we have to love people because God made them. If God made the whole world, we should be taking good care of the world. Again, these are things that are huge and foundational and important to how we live our life in this world. So we're dealing with important topics. We don't debate what kinds of people God doesn't love, which is what Christian Twitter seems to be spending a lot of time up. We come up with no complicated reasons at all why people can't belong. In primary Sunday school, we are a light to all. Yeah, everyone belongs. It's interesting because we care about different kinds of details in primary Sunday school. I'm learning that how something smells is really important, and I've tried to, as best I can with the resources in my house, I tried to simulate what frankincense and myrrh might smell like. We had, I think, lavender and peppermint lotion that we could put on our hands, and everyone agreed that that was far too smelly and wet, and we wiped that off right away. But it was a sense of what kind of a gift things might be happening. I wrote some of these things down because I wanted to get some of the good quotes. So what do you think it would have been like to being the Magi, to travel to Bethlehem to see Jesus and riding on the camels? We talked about how smelly camels are, and I think that's true. That's an important consideration. One of the wisdom that was shared was just thinking about if you made it that far, you'd be exhausted, which goes back to God loves tired people. But the Magi, I didn't really think of that. Like, just think how it's being on an airplane is tiring enough, but I can't imagine however many hundreds of kilometers the Magi traveled. When they finally got to Jesus, I wouldn't have even been able to think straight or have a thought. But they did, somehow. I guess because they trusted God a whole lot. So there's all kinds of insights that we get. Oh, an angel. If an angel came and spoke to you, and angels come and speak to people a lot, and we never skip those kind of details when we're telling the story, at least in the primary class, and I don't know why we would as adults. How would it feel like if an angel came to talk to you? What's the first thing the angel says? Do not be afraid, because it would be terrifying. And one little prophet in the class said, I would want to throw up. I think they were just trying to be provocative, but that's not so far from the truth. It's not so far from the truth. It would just be very terrifying. So I feel fortunate that if you all, you know, hear something that you might not disagree with, you might just kind of silently say, Laurie's full of it or whatever. But in the primary class, you get direct, unmediated feedback. Like you get that, so that's good. The angels hear, people hear God's voice directly. And in the baptism of Jesus text that we hear, I mean, the heavens open, and it's not an angel, it's God speaking to the people, which is astonishing. And it's an astonishing story. In my mind, I was going to do a whole little segue here about how all the prophets tell the story differently and the Septuagint looking back to Isaiah. I think we'll skip all of that because we wouldn't do that in the primary Sunday school class and talk about Isaiah 42, which is an old, old story that people would have known, and they would have known about it before Jesus. So this story, this text, doesn't just talk about Jesus. It had its own place in history and its own story before that. And then subsequent to Jesus being born, people looked back on these texts and said, oh, I see Jesus there. Just like in the book where we saw Joseph and Mary by the pyramids. It's just like looking back and saying, oh, yeah, look at that. There he is. So Isaiah 42 is God's promise concerning his servant, and it works at a whole bunch of levels. Behold my servant. So can you imagine God talking about Jesus? My chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. And you can see how well this fits with the text about the spirit descending on Jesus when he's baptized. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Think about that one this week. What could that mean? He will not cry out or raise his voice, although if you keep reading on the end to Isaiah 42, there's proclamation and shouting, but at this point it says, he will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. There that is again. We heard that already. He will bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed. until he has established justice in the earth. There's justice again. There's justice everywhere. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. I am not a Hebrew scholar. I cannot read Hebrew at all. But I did start digging around in these verses a little bit because the bruised reed and a dimly burning wick appealed to me right away. I guess it seems it's not a stretch from tired, is it? A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. So going back and searching those words, when it says in the next verse, he will not be disheartened or crushed, it's the same thing. It's saying he will not be a dim, he will not be dimmed, he will not be bruised. Like it's those are exactly the same words. So how I hear that is, while we might be feeling like bruised reeds or dimly burning wicks, and I can just, you know how it is when they're kind of smoking and they're not going out, but they're not very bright either. I feel like that sometimes. But what it's saying is that when we do feel, how I'm hearing it, and there's lots of things going on here, but how I'm hearing that is that God is going to tend to us when we are that dimly burning candle that just feels like it's not even really very bright, or that smoldering wick that's, you know, kind of smoky and could be a little stronger, or the bruised reed that, you know, the ones that can't stand up straight because they've been folded and they have that weak, kind of weak spot. God is not going to break us, and he's not going to cast us aside and say, ah, you're, you know, past your use-by date. God does not do that. God is faithful with us. He will not extinguish us. He will not break us. And at the same time, it's saying that God isn't like we are, in that God does not get crushed like that. God does not get dimmed. I mean, I think we think that often it's like, well, God, if you're so, you know, do something. But this passage is quite clear in saying that God is not disheartened. God is not crushed. It may look like that, but that is not it. And God is certainly not going to crush us. So God loves tired people. I know it's a little bit trite, but God doesn't give up on us. Even when we're feeling very bruised or when we're smoldering, God does not give up on us. And he will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. And then Isaiah continues with something that would be familiar, again, familiar theology from the primary class, and not just from the primary class. God created the heavens and stretched them out. A very active creating God. Created the earth and its offspring, that's us, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. That's something to be thankful for each and every day, despite how smoldering we might feel or how bruised we might feel, that God gives us breath. That's why we're here. Spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. So you can hear this as God speaking to Jesus, the voice coming down from above. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people. God is Jesus is the promise that between God and us. As a light to the nation, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Idols, that is, like, you can think of conventional idols. What is that? You can think of the other gods that would have existed in this context that you worship, that you put up on a pole or that you have in your house. In our context, usually our gods are in our pockets and they give us a little alert to make sure that we're paying attention. But God is saying, nope, that is not where our praise belongs. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. So the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like a dove is a proclamation. When God says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. I can't imagine. I think everyone must have had the hair standing up on their back of their neck when that was said. I can't imagine how that must have felt. And by extension, the spirit that came to Jesus, that's ours as well. God promises to be with us. Our bruised reeds and our dimly burning wicks. He will not crush us. We will not be extinguished because God is with us. So I said I wanted to share about teaching Sunday school because that's something where I've learned some things. When there's a second, sometimes I take a picture. I don't share them or anything. We have a social media policy, and I want to be very respectful of that, a photo policy. But I did want to give you an idea of our class so that you can pray for us, and not just pray for the primary class. That's what I have photos of, but pray for the middlers and pray for the youth and pray for Mennonite Church Canada and Eastern Canada because we're part of a bigger church family. So I have what I call a magic clicker to advance the photos. Oh, look at that. And if that doesn't work, I just wave my hands and hope that Barry's going to help me out. This is Kayla. I didn't take a selfie, so obviously you can see me, but this is Kayla. And there's our memory verse, love is patient, love is kind, love never ends. This is Maggie. When the kids were able to do the memory verse, I took their picture to celebrate. And it's just been totally amazing. We have kids that are 4, 5, and 6, so some in grade 1, and they're working on sound. September, they're working and sounding out letters. December, they're like, whew, yeah, reading really well. So it's been real amazing to see how fast that happens. So did I say that everyone in the class is a lot brighter than me? Because, yeah. I just try to keep up. That's all I do. This is our craft from last week. You can kind of guess that one, right? The Magi. And I think I gave a shout out last week to whoever it was that provided the shiny purple paper. There might be a thought about blessings there because I really like the shiny purple paper. It's pretty. It's also very difficult to work with. So maybe think about that and your blessings that you have. It might be the same for you. This is Josh, and a memory verse, and a hockey fan. You probably got that. This is Jacob. We have two Jacobs. I don't have pictures of both Jacobs, but this is Jacob. This is Daniel. Oh, this is a tent. We were doing... Do you remember this story, Kayla? What was the story with a tent? Oh, right. Okay, I'm in the Old Testament. Okay, it was Paul. We were doing, Paul was a tent maker. Yes, oh, and we had a great time with Lydia and the purple cloth, too. This structure, unfortunately, do you remember, we have scholars here, do you remember how the temple dramatically is destroyed at some time around, I think, 70 years, AD 70? This happened to our temple after Christmas. I don't know what's happened, but... So this temple started off life as an appliance box, and it was very well decorated with jewels and gold angels and cherubs and temple written out. And I believe temple was misspelled at some point and then crossed out and then and spelled again, which I'm sure happened on the original temple too. And then we did the King Josiah, where he has the scroll. They find the scrolls in the temple, and then they go, wow, we found the word of God, and they have a 7-day party. That's another thing that we've noticed in our stories is that while birthday parties are like 1 hour, 2 hours, in the Old Testament, the parties tend to be set for 7 days. So parents, I'm just saying, yeah. So we had a good time. Well, now the temple, we are in the post-second temple period, I guess. We don't have it anymore, but we did have a good time while it lasted with the temple. This is Evelyn. And our crafts get a little... Well, they're all consuming. That's normal, right? That's Abigail. And yeah, that's last week and the Magi craft and the stickers are the Christmas story. And Play-Doh. And I know Graham told me several times that he's making a very specific thing with Play-Doh. And my adult brain cannot remember those very specific things. Something with a canyon? Yeah, can you tell me?
It's a game, Wreck of the Crimson Cutlass, but its real name is Fireball Island, Curse of the Volcar.
Okay, thanks. See, that's why I couldn't remember. We've had lots of fun with the Play-Doh and Lego as well in building all different kinds of things. We have a lot of things going on. And that's Lydia. Sorry. And this is Josh and Peter and Jacob. Did I not have a picture of Peter before? Anyway, this was a puzzle from last week. So those are some of the beautiful people that you could pray for. I don't have a formal ending, just to say that God loves tired people, and that if we feel that we are a bruised reed or a smoldering wick, that God was not going to extinguish us, that God is going to treat us kindly with patience and kindness and everlasting love. And that if we can remember that and stay with that love, that spirit that God gives us, then we can share it. That's what I have. Thanks.